is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this.
Good morning and welcome to this week's Health Matters radio show. We are live on Channel Radio as we speak. I hope you are all very well and had a great weekend. It's Monday, it's the 14th of May, and the weather's improving, so it's looking like a good week ahead. So I hope you have a great week ahead and you get out in the sun. On today's show, we've got some great topics to go through with you this morning. We're going to be talking about agave nectar, what it is, what it does, and why it's actually not a smart alternative to sugar. I know some of you out there, and certainly some friends of mine, are taking agave because they think it's healthy. So I'm going to bust a few myths about agave. We're also going to have a chat about glucagon. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about insulin, and today we're going to talk about glucagon, which is the opposite to insulin, and how it can help you with fat loss. And I have a special guest on with me this morning. I have Jill Tippin from Pavelka. Good morning, Jill. How are you?
Good morning, Neil. I'm very well, and thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. It's great to have you on this morning. And we're going to be talking more with Jill in about 15, 20 minutes about what they do, what Pavelka does, and how they might be able to help you or your business. We've also got music from 1985 as well. So we've got some great songs from Prince, from Simple Minds, and also from Tears for Fears. So a quick disclaimer before we kick off with the show. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform, and enlighten you in ways that you might improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. All content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience, and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So that's the small print out the way. Let's get into the topic of agave, agave sugar. Some of you have heard of agave, very possibly, because it's what they make tequila from, which is quite interesting. But over the last few years, agave has become an alternative to sugar. And many people believe it's actually a healthy alternative to sugar. So we're going to go through some of the main objections that I come across, and I'm going to give you some truths about why agave isn't quite as healthy as the food manufacturers would like us to think it is. So, agave is a plant. It grows in the southern US and South America. And most of us commonly associate agave, or certainly tequila, with Mexico. And actually, agave has been around for thousands of years, and it has been used by native Mexicans as a source of energy. And obviously, they make drink from it as well. And they believe that agave has medicinal properties. And what they used to do was they used to boil the sap of the plant, which creates a sweet fluid. And they would use that to sweeten their food and their drinks. And today, the agave plant, the most common use of it is still tequila. And I'm sure there's a few of you out there that know what tequila is. But when agave is processed, they can create a sweetener from it. And because it comes from a plant, it's then marketed as being a healthy option to sugar. And this is the key point. It's just because a sweetener comes from a plant doesn't necessarily mean that it's a healthy option. I've covered stevia on a previous show, and I will probably cover stevia again in the future, because that's another example of a naturally occurring sweetener that's highly processed and can become quite damaging to the body. So let's go back to agave. So they extract, they process the plant, they refine it, and in the refining process, they actually lose a lot of the beneficial health effects that are actually in the plant in its natural state. And I'm sure you would agree, most things that become processed, so if you take, say, oranges and you process them into orange juice, in the process of processing, you lose most of the health benefits of the fruit, and certainly you lose a lot of the fiber as well. So when they refine agave into a sweetener, it's massively processed, and the beneficial health benefits of the plant are then gone. So when you look at things like high fructose corn syrup, which is a highly processed form of sugar, the processing for agave is actually very similar. The plants are the agave plant is cut, and then the sugary fluid inside is then extracted, but not only is the fluid high in sugar, it can contain healthy compounds like fructans. So fructans are healthy. They're healthy compounds that give you beneficial effects on your metabolism and also in insulin. But when that fluid is then processed, that process breaks down the fructans. And they do that to extract the fructose from the fluid, and in so doing, they do destroy most of the health properties of the agave plant. So the takeaway here is the fact that when they process what is a natural sweetener in a plant, they take away most of the health benefits from that from the plant. And that can then cause a lot of health issues, particularly if you're taking it as a so-called healthy option, and you're consuming huge amounts. Remember, high fructose corn syrup is also highly processed. And most people that I speak to, I warn away from high fructose corn syrup, but the processing of agave nectar is actually very, very similar. So lots of people that I deal with are diabetic. And the subject of agave does come up from time to time because it is high in fructose. It actually has quite a low glycemic index rating. Now, for those of you that don't know, the glycemic index rating, it measures how quickly the glucose gets metabolized by the body. So the higher the rating, the more of a blood sugar spike that you'll get. And the more of a blood sugar spike you'll get, the more of an insulin reaction you'll have. And obviously, if you do that time and time again over a period of time, then you are well on your way potentially to type 2 diabetes. So agave nectar is actually marketed as being healthy and diabetic friendly because it's very, very high in fructose and actually very low in glucose. And it is actually the glucose that will cause the blood sugar spike. But it isn't about the glycemic index. It's about the fructose. I cannot stress this enough. When we look at the glycemic index of a particular food, that's only part of the story. And when it comes to agave nectar, whilst it does have a low glycemic index, it has a huge amount of fructose in it. And it's actually the fructose that does the most damage to the body. It has actually been, in many circles, they do think that one of the drivers of the obesity crisis that we face today is the amount of fructose that we consume. You know, in fruit, our bodies can deal with it in moderation. You know, if you eat 100 bananas a day, you might have a problem. But in moderation, your body knows what to do with the fructose that's naturally found in fruit. And obviously, fruit does come with other beneficial things like vitamins and minerals and obviously fiber as well. But the problem comes when the fructose is extracted from fruit or from plants and it's processed. Now, when we look at glucose and we look at fructose, if we take a sugar molecule, for example, so white table sugar, it's about 50-50. So we have one molecule of glucose and one molecule of fructose. So about a 50-50 split. When we look at agave, it's about 85-15. So it's about 85% fructose and only about 15% glucose. Now, glucose is a really important nutrient. It is purely for energy, and your body knows what to do with glucose. It's part of the metabolic cycle. And when you consume glucose in moderation, I hasten to add, then your body knows how to deal with glucose, but it doesn't know what to do with fructose. So only the liver can deal with fructose. So if you consume huge amounts of fructose, so if you eat food with fructose added to it, if you consume foods with high fructose corn syrup in it, if you consume copious amounts of fruit, it puts a massive load on the liver. And the liver can only do one thing with fructose. It converts it into fat. It tries to store the fat on itself and in itself. And the fat that it can't store around and in itself, it will ship out as VLDL. And it will also raise blood triglycerides. So as we know, VLDL is but the bad cholesterol. So if you consume... If you consume agave syrup, the takeaway here is if you consume agave syrup, you are actually consuming high levels of fructose. And whilst it doesn't necessarily raise your blood sugar levels and doesn't contribute to an insulin reaction, it puts a massive load on the liver. And then when there's a load on the liver over a period of time, that is a massive driver towards things like insulin resistance. And insulin resistance then is the leading cause of type 2 diabetes. So is agave nectar a so-called healthy sweetener? In my opinion, I'd argue absolutely not. I'd actually argue because of the molecular structure of agave compared to sugar, that it is actually more damaging to the body than white table sugar. And as we know, white table sugar isn't healthy by any stretch of the imagination, but I would actually put it out there that agave nectar is actually more damaging than white table sugar. So if you're consuming agave nectar at the moment, please do your own research. You can contact me if you want to have a chat about it. But I would suggest that you try to either come off of the sweet stuff altogether. And I appreciate that can be quite difficult, but come off of the sweet stuff altogether and break those cravings. Or certainly if you can't do that, then look for a better and more healthy alternative to agave nectar. So hopefully you found that interesting. We're going to crack on with the first of our songs this morning. It's a great song, and it's by Prince, and it's Little Red Corvette.
I guess I should know by the way you parked your car sideways. I don't mean that. It's the other kind of person believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast. I guess I must be dumb, cause you had a pocket full of horses, Trojan and some of abuse. But it was Saturday night, I guess that makes it alright. You see, what have I got to lose? And honey, I say, Little Red Corvette, baby, you're much too fast. To the place where your horses run free. Cause I felt a little ill when I saw all the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me. Believe it or not, I started to worry. I wondered if I had enough class. But it was Saturday night, I guess that makes it alright. You say, baby, James, was on the verge of being obscene. No rover, baby, give me the keys. I'm gonna try to tame your little red love machine.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, it's the 14th of May, and I have on the show with me today my special guest, Jill Tippin from Pavelka. Good morning, Jill. How are you?
Good morning, Neil. Yes, very good, thank you.
It's
very
great to have you on the show this morning. So we're going to find out more about Jill, a bit about her background, how she got into doing what she's doing now, and also more about Pavelka, about the company, about its mission to change the world, and also how their services might be able to help you as an individual, or potentially to help your business. So Jill, let's start right at the beginning.
Yeah.
How did you get into doing what you do now? What was your journey?
Oh, well, I mean, my route to what I do now was very, very varied. So I started off the police force. I've been in construction, financial services. I've even dabbled in the rugby industry.
Really?
Yes. And business support and PR and things like that. And then 5 years ago, I met my business partner, Jesse Pavelka, who's based in the States. I met him and realized that we had similar values. I was in PR at the time. Mm-hmm. But our values around health are very similar.
Okay.
So that was, I sort of said to him, do you want to kind of work here in the UK? I mean, he did a TV show here in the UK with Sky TV. And he said, yeah, because he was quite well known here. So mm-hmm. That's why we started in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone from strength to strength.
So let's talk about Jesse for a moment, because yeah. I'm sure some people out there will know who Jesse is.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about his background, the sorts of things that he's done in the past, because he's got quite a high profile, hasn't he?
Well, reasonably so, yeah, especially in the weight loss area. So he had a couple of shows on Sky TV here called Obesity Year to Save My Life, Fat the Fight of My Life, where he helped people lose extreme amounts of weight. But although, yes, the shows were about weight, they were actually about people overcoming struggles with their health. Mm. He's also been on The Biggest Loser in the USA as well. But now he's focusing on his company with me here in the UK. But we do work with people anywhere all over the world, anyone who needs to hear the message, which is based around Jesse's philosophy of health, which is the four elements of health.
Mm-hmm.
And they are eat, Yep. Sweat, think and connect. So there, that's his philosophy of health, and everything we do is based around that.
Brilliant. And I think it's quite an interesting point about overcoming struggles.
Yeah.
So many weight management, weight loss programs focus purely on losing weight.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'd agree that there's so much more to it than just jumping on a set of scales and losing 2 or 3 stone.
Yeah, well, we say, you know, scales are for fish. That's what I quite often say.
That's very good, actually. I'll have to use that one.
Please do, yeah. Because they could be your biggest enemy, you know, and they tell you a story. And I think people tend to think that weight loss is very simple, and it is, but human beings are not simple.
No,
we
exactly.
are not. We're complex, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, there's a lot of different factors that add to people's journey and struggles with weight.
Yeah.
And I think that those people that don't have issues with weight need to understand that a little bit more. But we all have struggles, and yep. we all have things that we turn to when we're under moments of stress in our lives. For some people, that is food.
Yeah.
And the thing is with food, when you're addicted to food, then it's difficult because you can't not eat.
Yeah.
if you're smoking and you want to give up, it's tough, but mm-hmm. you can do it. Mm-hmm. Alcohol, drugs, any kind of addiction. Food is a difficult one for a lot of people, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a very, very tricky one. But we feel if you base your life around four elements. So if we think about the four elements of health, you think about what you eat each day, you give it time, you give it thought, you think about it as fuel in your body rather than something that you crave and, you know, an emotional crutch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how am I going to feel really, really good today? What can I put in my body that's going to make me feel good?
Mm-hmm.
If you think about how you move, are you moving each day? You know, I don't necessarily mean running marathons. I mean moving. It might be going for a brisk walk.
Yeah.
It could be anything that's right for you. It's a one size fits one approach.
Yeah.
We also have to consider how our thoughts are leading us and what are we thinking about. And our think element is a big part of what we do. And finally, the connect element is how do you connect to yourself, first of all, but those around you, those you love, and then maybe something greater than you, you know, that kind of helps you to understand what your challenges and problems are and makes them seem smaller.
Mm.
And the thing is, making small, tiny changes in each of those areas every day of your life adds up to big impact.
Yeah.
And that's our message.
Yeah, there's a great book called The Compound Effect, and I read it many, many years ago, and it is about making small changes.
Yeah.
And even the small things that we do today, compounded over time, for better or worse. You know, if you were to smoke one cigarette a day, you probably wouldn't have a health issue tomorrow.
No.
But roll on 10 years, when you smoke 3,500, then you might have an issue. And in the same way, if you make small changes for the better, it doesn't have to be these. And we were talking in the break, and people are under the impression that to be healthy, to lose weight, you need these huge, huge actions. And it isn't about making massive action, is it? It's about making small actions repeatedly.
Yeah, and I think that's sometimes quite difficult for people to sort of grasp and understand that actually what we advocate is not very exciting. And when you try and sort of, if you want to use the word sell, or, you know, sell something like the four elements, we have to kind of say, this is not exciting, but it will change your life.
Yeah.
So in that way it is. But the actual actions are small.
Yeah.
But the good thing about them is the fact that they're sustainable.
Yeah.
So if you start something, you know, very, very small each day and you continue it, then over time, the side effects are things like weight loss, but the initial effect is feeling good.
Yes.
And that's our kind of, that's our goal, is for people to sort of show up in their own lives, feel good and to thrive, you know, be the best versions of themselves that they can be.
And I think so many weight loss programs, and we will just touch on weight loss for a moment, they focus so much on the weight loss. I'd argue that most of them do it the wrong way, in my personal opinion. But with little regard for how the person feels.
Yeah.
And if you, and I'm a great believer, and I concur with you 100% actually, if you focus on improving someone's health, if weight is an issue, if you focus on improving the health, the weight thing tends to take care of itself. It might be a bit slower than a crash weight loss course, but it will be safer. And if someone feels better and they feel healthier and they're sleeping better and they've got more energy, they are more likely to subconsciously adopt it as a new way of life.
Yeah.
If you help someone to lose weight quickly, but they feel rubbish, they might do it until they get to their weight loss goal and then go, right, I'm not doing that anymore because it made me feel rubbish.
Yeah.
So I'm behind you 100%. I think if you look at to improve someone's health as the most important thing, the rest of the other issues tend to fall into place in naturally.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, it is not complicated. And I think by starting on day one, the minute you make that commitment to yourself and you say, I am worth more, the minute you start to value yourself as an individual, as a human being, you start to feel better. Even before you've done anything, it's making that commitment. And then you say, right, you bring it right into the moment. So you don't look years and years ahead. You might have a lot of weight to lose. You might have a long journey ahead of you. Mm. But you look in that moment and you say, what's my very next choice? And if you make that choice a good choice, and then you make the next one a good choice, whether it's around movement, whether it's around food, how your relationships, anything along those lines, then you start to feel better. Mm. And if you're feeling better, you're going to make more informed choices. You're going to value the choices that you make. And we self-sabotage all the time, but you're going to think twice about it, you know, if you feel good.
And we tend to think as we get older, you know, we have less energy naturally, we get more aches and pains, we feel a little bit more tired all the time. And people don't realise how much better they could feel until they start to make those changes. And they suddenly realise, oh, there is a better version of me, a healthier, happier version of me, just waiting to get out.
Yeah.
And sometimes people want quick fixes.
Yeah.
I think we live in this quick fix society where they want to take a magic pill or potion or whatever it might be. And they want, you know, the thing that's got them to where they are over the last 10 or 20 years, they suddenly want it turned around in a week.
Yeah.
And it's just unrealistic.
Yeah. And Jesse always says, you know, when he's doing his, when he's doing his presentations and writing and anything that he does, live life in a 24-hour period. We can all cope with that. We can cope with 24 hours. What we can't really cope with is thinking, oh, the next 6 months or the next year, you know, and some people's, our journeys never end.
Yeah.
So this is a lifestyle for a lifetime. It's not something that you can do for 6 weeks. It's not a 6-week program, 12-week program or anything like that. It's actually life.
Yes.
It's real life. Yeah. And the glorious bit about it is that when you adopt these small changes into your life, they become your life. Mm. So you actually do them almost unconsciously. You're unconsciously competent, as they say, at living well, you know. And this is the really great thing, Neil, is the fact that not only are you feeling better, but you're showing examples to those around you. And they start to think, why is she looking better? Why is he doing that? You know, and they want to know, they get curious. Mm. Your children follow your example. And so you're setting an example for everybody around you in your network. Mm. That's a really big, important thing to do in life.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's very interesting when you look at these small changes, because from a psychological point of view, the brain resists change.
Yeah.
We are, you know, most human beings are resistant to something new or a change in routine or a change in diet, or whatever it might be. And the small changes tend to go under the radar.
Yeah.
Just the little changes where you start drinking a bit more water. Mm. You cut down from 2 teaspoons of sugar to a teaspoon and a half.
Yeah.
It goes under that radar, and it suddenly becomes it can become a new, better habit. Mm. But just going back to the big changes that people expect, you know, the magic formulas, the quick fixes. The brain will resist those, which is why yo-yo dieting, you know, we have an epidemic of yo-yo dieting in this country particularly, because it's a set formula, it's not a lifestyle change, there is a short-term end goal. When people get to the end goal, all the old habits are still there. Mm. And if you want to break habits, you've got to start with the small things.
Yeah, and I think if somebody's wanting to make changes, the first thing they need to do is stop looking outside of themselves for a magic potion or a magic pill or program or anything. I'm not saying that the programs out there don't work. There are lots of great ways to get involved, but it's the community element that often works with a lot of the programs.
Yep.
But it's actually, rather than looking outside, look inside and take responsibility. There is no there's no magic wand. No. Take responsibility and say, okay, I'm responsible for my own life here.
Yeah.
What can I do right in this moment to make a start? The minute you've started, everything takes on, you know, you're looking at things through different lenses,
yeah,
because you're taking care of yourself. And the key thing is you're aware. Once you've developed the sense of being, you know, being able to be aware of things that you're doing, you stop unconsciously eating, you know, mm-hmm, you're sitting at your desk and the biscuits are beside you.
Yep.
Don't have the biscuits beside
or
you.
Watching,
you won't eat
or
them.
Watching TV at night with a glass of wine, yeah, and a bar of chocolate.
Because,
yeah,
people say to me, oh, you know, I can't stop eating the biscuits, you know, on the biscuit barrel. I haven't got a biscuit barrel. I haven't had a biscuit barrel for years. Yeah. You know, don't have a biscuit
if
barrel.
If you haven't got it, you can't eat it.
No,
absolutely.
Just don't have it. Don't make it hard work for yourself.
I think being self-accountable, and you touched on that part there, being self-accountable, you, yeah, know, it does help to be accountable to someone else and they can push you forwards,
yeah,
whoever that person might be. But being self-accountable, I think that's the key,
yeah,
because it's the self-accountability that will last. You know,
yeah,
if you're working
with
a coach, you might do what you're told while you're working with them. And then when you stop working with them, you stop the, yeah, good habits. But if you're self-accountable, it takes on a whole new level, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we work with corporations. With big corporations as well. One of our clients is Cisco Systems, and mm-hmm, they're worldwide. And we've got a fantastic initiative running with them called the Cisco Pavelka Initiative.
Yep.
And one of the things, the main themes, is accountability. Because even though Cisco are very, very forward thinking, they understand that, you know, their technology is second to none, but it's their people that give them that cutting edge.
Mm.
And they know that productivity and innovation are really important in companies generally. We all know that, no matter how big your company is, that's important. But it's the people. And if you don't look after your people, then how can you expect to thrive as a business, you know? So, but ultimately, every individual on this planet is responsible, adult, let's say, is responsible for their own health. But employers out there are also responsible for creating the environment where well-being can thrive. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
There's a partnership going on there.
Yeah.
And we come in with a message.
So how do you manage to scale up? Oh, you know, obviously Cisco is a huge company.
Yeah.
I think it's 60,000-70,000 employees.
Yeah.
How do you scale up from what is a relatively small company? How do you manage to cope with dealing with numbers in up in the tens and tens of thousands?
It's a really good question, and it's a question we're asked a lot, and we're doing it. I mean, there's several ways. The first thing is Pavelka is a conversation. So you and I are having a conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
People listening in, hopefully, will think about those four elements and those small changes. So it is about a conversation. So it's how we kind of disseminate that conversation throughout the workforce, and it takes time. So there's different ways. I mean, Cisco have wonderful technology.
Mm-hmm, as you would expect.
So that helps. So we do things like webinars and, you know, recordings and things like that. They have Cisco TV, all sorts of different things. But actually, the best way is through enthusiastic Pavelka pioneers who work for Cisco, who believe in the four elements, are happy to live the four elements, demonstrate it, share it, promote it to their networks. That is the very, very best way to scale anything. And if you create a conversation and it's good enough, then people will share it.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's how we scale, really. We do live events as well. We travel. Jesse and I have traveled to about 13 different countries. We work in the EMEA region, so that's mm-hmm. Europe, Middle East, Africa and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people are in the UK, so we do a lot of stuff here as well. So we do travel, but it's the technology and it's the message and it's the people that get it out there.
So tell me about your boot camps. I was on your website this morning.
Yes.
And I did notice that you run boot camps all over the place.
Yes.
How do they work? What sorts of people do you get coming to your boot camps?
All sorts.
Okay.
Because it's for any level.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they're based around the four elements. So what we do is the main one is the sweat element. So we get people moving. So any level of fitness is welcomed. Anybody can come along if they've only just started to think about exercise, or they're running marathons. So they can come along and we will ask that they challenge themselves. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're an hour of working out in groups with our PTs and with Jesse. And then after that, we do an hour Q&A. And that's where people really get to ask Jesse face to face their questions around health, but we talk about the four areas of health when during those sessions. He does a little talk and then he answers people's questions. That's fascinating. Could go on all evening. It's really fascinating. So that's how we run them. We run them different parts of the UK. We do them each year. And yeah, they're fun and they're a way to learn and to try things out.
And it's a great way to get out to the public, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got on one hand, you've got the corporate side going into companies. And just to clarify, obviously, it's not just the huge companies that you go into, is it?
No.
You also go into smaller companies as well.
Wherever there's people that need support and need help around mm-hmm. health, we will go. And we have a Jesse's kind of, I call it his gift. We have the Pavelka House, which is an online hub. Mm-hmm. It's totally free. People can just sign up, email address, that's it. They can go on there, they can enjoy the resources, they can interact with other people and share the message around good health. And that's on our website and it's totally free. So we encourage people to go on there and join in. It's like a community.
Fantastic. So what are the plans for the company for the coming year?
Well, it's a very good question. I mean, we are developing our corporate offering, because what one of our things that we want to do, Jesse's vision and my vision, is to reach as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go into corporations, it's full of people. So we get to do that. But we want to just really, really continue to spread the message. And we've got some products coming out later in the year that will do that. But we would also like to increase our corporate offering for businesses small and large. You know, we've got both ends of the scale, so we know we can do that. And and just continue really to reach as many people as possible. I mean, one of my personal visions, if I'm allowed to say mm-hmm. this, would be to help the people in the NHS, the staff in the NHS.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great to be able to go in there and help them to embed the four elements into some of their lives, you know, because they're looking after people. So
yes,
that would be a great thing to do.
Absolutely. So when we look at the corporate side of the business, companies of any size, you're happy to talk with anyone and have a conversation and start that ball rolling.
Absolutely.
And with individuals, anyone that just wants to take control and wants to be a healthier version of themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Please come onto the website. Come to a boot camp. We do retreats in the winter. In November, we have two retreats, which are small, but they're very sort of intense, working with people over a weekend. Mm-hmm. It's Jesse and myself that deliver those. But I think the best place for somebody to start would be to go onto pavelka.co.uk, have a look round, join the house, see how other people are doing it, but also don't forget, it's everybody's different and everyone's health is different. So make it your own. And we have a manual that people can purchase, and it will give them step by steps on how to start the Pavelka way.
Excellent. So you mentioned your website there is pavelka.co.uk.
That's right.
So what's the first step? If someone's listening and is actually interested, either on a corporate level or on a personal level, what's the first step? How do they make contact with you to have a chat?
So on a corporate level, on the website, there is a corporate page, Pavelka at Work, mm-hmm. we call it. Please go on there and just submit your inquiry and we'll contact you and have a chat.
Yep.
Every company has different needs. Our services for them will be different depending mm-hmm. on the company.
Mm-hmm.
On the personal side, go onto the website. There's a Pavelka House button. It says, let me in the house. You put your email address in and that's it. That's all you need. There's no money changes hands. You just go in and enjoy and take that first step, make that first change. And whatever that is, make it yours and start there.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the
one
first step. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, Jill.
You're welcome.
Just to reiterate, it's pavelka.co.uk, but it's been really good to have you on the show.
Thank you.
It's really been great to find out more about what you do and obviously what Pavelka does and how we're all trying to change the world.
Yes. Let's do that.
It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil.
Turn me on. You lift me up like the sweetest cup I share.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, the 14th of May, and I have with me my special guest, Jill Tippin from Pavelka. She's still here. Good to see you here, Jill.
Thank you.
And for those of you that were listening a little while ago, we went through more about what Pavelka does and how it can help you as an individual, or if you are a business owner, how it may be able to help the health of your staff. As usual, if you'd like to get in contact with me, my website is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. You can drop me a line personally, send me an email, and I will be in contact with you. If you'd like to contact the show via the Twitter feed, it's at Health Radio Show. So if you'd like a shout out, or you just want to mention, or just to say hello, you can tweet me and I will give you a mention. You can also go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show, and you can like the show's Facebook page and be kept up to date with the show and forthcoming guests. And you can listen again. If you go to my website and you click on the media page, you can listen to all the previous 23 shows. Or if you are on iTunes, you can go to iTunes and search Health Matters Radio Show, and you can subscribe to the show's podcast. So, as those of you that are regular listeners to the show will know, I am on a mission at the moment. So by the year 2030, I want to have educated 100 million people across the world about type 2 diabetes, how to manage it properly, and how to reverse it with the potential of coming off of medication. Now, as part of that, mission is education. Now, a couple of shows ago, we spoke about insulin. Now, insulin is a very common hormone. Most people know what insulin is. Most people know it gets produced by the pancreas and it deals with blood sugar. Insulin is also the fat storage hormone. So if you have lots of blood sugar or an increase in blood sugar and glucose, any unused glucose eventually goes back to the liver and it gets converted into fat, which then in turn can cause things like high levels of blood fats, high levels of bad cholesterol, and also the storage of body fat. And a big takeaway from a few weeks ago was it isn't fat that makes people fat, it's excess glucose that makes people fat. So how does glucagon, come into play with insulin. Now, when we look at the pancreas, insulin gets produced by the beta cells. So as we just said, it deals with the increase in blood sugar, and ultimately it's the fat storage hormone. Glucagon gets produced by the alpha cells, and it does the complete opposite to insulin. So when your blood sugars drop, glucagon gets produced to bring the blood sugars back up again. And in so doing, it actually helps to the body to burn body fat. So it's quite a good hormone to tap into. And unfortunately, we live in a society, particularly in the Western world, or although increasingly in the Eastern parts of the world as well, where we consume far too much carbohydrate, far too much sugary carbohydrate, and therefore we have a constant production of insulin, and glucagon doesn't really get a look in. So when your blood sugars drop, and your body likes to keep a fairly tight window of blood sugars, not too high and not too low, the Goldilocks mode zone, if you like. When your blood sugars drop, glucagon gets released by the pancreas, and it taps into your fat cells in a process called lipolysis. And what that does is it actually allows the fat cells to release free fatty acids that then go back to the liver to be converted into a usable fuel to then put your blood sugars back up. So when you're asleep, so if you're a non-diabetic, particularly when you're asleep, you will go into a mild state of hypoglycemia because you are fasting and you're not eating anything, so your blood sugars will naturally drop. So then glucagon gets produced to bring them back up again, and in so doing, it taps into your body fat to bring your blood sugars back up. So if you look at it from a very simple point of view, insulin is a fat accumulator and glucagon is a sugar burner. The problem is because we do have this very unhealthy diet in this country, we eat lots of carbohydrates, we eat copious amounts of processed food, we eat lots and lots of sugary food, and we drink lots of sugary drinks. We get into a vicious cycle that's actually quite hard to stop. If your body wants to burn glucose for energy, as soon as that starts to drop, you will get cravings. Your body will start craving sugar again. So rather than giving your body time or eating the right things to bring your blood sugars down, to moderate the amount of sugar that you eat, you will tend to go for the next sweet treat. You'll go for another can of fizzy drink, or you'll go for a chocolate bar or a packet of crisps or a processed meal. These things are very, very high in sugar. So all the time that you're consuming sugar, your body will burn sugar. What you need to do is actually, reduce down the amount, particularly of sugary carbohydrates that you eat, so that your body gets a chance to burn its own reserves of energy, and that is your body fat. So if your blood sugar rises and then crashes, you get the drop, you become edgy, you become depressed, you become fatigued until you have the next can of drink or you have the next chocolate bar. And then your mood improves because your blood sugars improve, because your body is so used to burning glucose for energy rather than burning fat. So it's very, very simple, actually. How do you stimulate more glucagon? Well, if you can imagine glucagon and insulin are opposite sides of a seesaw. So when insulin is being produced, glucagon is dormant. And when glucagon is being produced, insulin is dormant. So when one's working, the other's not, and vice versa. So you need to tap into how your body works, how the human body works, how it's designed to work, and the sorts of foods that we are designed to eat. We're not designed to eat highly processed foods. We're not designed to eat copious amounts of sugar. We're not designed to drink very, very high sugar sweetened drinks. And I would add that artificial sweeteners are a problem as well, but that's the subject for a different day, maybe. So stick to the foods that we are designed to eat as human beings. So that means cutting down, not cutting out, not going on a really, really low carb diet, but cutting down on carbohydrates, cutting out as much as you possibly can sugar. And the only way you'll really get to grips with that is if you start doing a food diary. And as Jill and I touched on in Jill's interview, be self-accountable take control, start to understand what you're eating, start to look at the numbers, start to look at the fats, the carbs, the proteins, the sugars and the fibers, and start making some smarter choices. Start cutting down or cutting out sugar altogether. If you cut out particularly sugary carbohydrates, you give your body a chance for glucagon production to kick in. And if glucagon production kicks in, you will start to burn body fat. It's not rocket science. It really is that simple. If you want any advice on this on an individual basis, please do contact me via my website. But really, if there's one thing I can give you to take away from this, is start to cut down on sugar. Not only would it be good for your short-term health, but excess sugar is the big leader for things like type 2 diabetes. You know, it really is a problem. It's a problem for most of the metabolic processes inside your body. It puts a massive strain on the liver. And if you want to be healthier, start making these small changes. If you're taking 2 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee at the moment or your tea, then cut down to 1.5. And you know what? After a month, cut down to 1. And after a month after that, cut down to none. It's about making these small changes. So eat healthy, good quality meats, if obviously you're not a vegetarian. Good quality wild seafood, so sardines, mackerel, wild salmon, things like that. Good quality poultry. Eggs are actually quite good. Good quality proteins, vegetables. Eat the things that the human body is designed to eat. And cut down on the sugar. And perhaps do a food diary. I find that for all my clients, it's an eye-opener. And when they start doing the food diary, they are often shocked at how high their sugar consumption is and how low their protein and fibre consumption is. So hopefully you found that of use. We're about to wrap up the show in a couple of minutes' time. Just to remind you of my website, which is i-nutrition.co.uk. You can contact me via the website, drop me an email, and I will reply to you. You can listen to the show again via my website on the media page, or if you go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the show's podcast page there. We have a guest on next week, John Nicholson from the Community Driving School. Some of you know John out there. He's on a mission at the moment to help people, and you'll find out more about what John does on next week's show. I'd like to thank Jill again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Neil.
And just to remind you that the Pavelka website is www.pavelka.co.uk. And please do tweet me in the meantime if you'd like to ask me a question or you'd like a shout out on air. Then please do drop me a tweet, drop me an email, or find me on Facebook, and I would be happy to help you. So coming up after the break is the Channel Radio News and Weather, and the Health Matters Radio Show will be back on air this time, same time, next Monday, 11 o'clock on the 21st of May. It'd be great to have you listening then. Any questions in the meantime, give me a shout. But until then, I will play you out with one last song from 1985, and it's a classic from Tears for Fears and Everybody Wants to Rule the World.